continuing on, we're talking about Avodah Zakarka on Shemitah. We're going to talk about three very loosely related things today. The last two times we spoke about the first is the devices that you can't do on Shemitah in the ground, and then the second one was about Yisurim Drabanan that you can't do. So there's a big shayla on the Achronim. A lot of Achronim talk about this. Those Yisurim, let's say the Yisur device that there is to do on Shemitah, are those Yisurim an Yisur on a person? I'm not allowed to do that malacha. Or is it an Yisur on the land, that the land has to be rested? I mean, obviously the land doesn't listen to what the Baruch Hashem says, so the people are responsible to carry out that mission, but really it's a mitzvah on the land.
So, both, right?
What'd you say?
Nobody said it's only on the land.
Well, land don't have mitzvahs per se, so you're the defender of that mitzvah.
No, I understand what you're saying. Of course it's on you not to let your land get worked on, but it's also, nobody just says it's just on you not to let the land. They say it's both on the person not to do work. No?
No. Some people say completely a person related. I'll tell you some of the proofs in a second, but first let me just give you some of the nafkaminas. It'll help you just wrap your hand around it better. Just some of the nafkaminas to what should I care? It sounds very theoretical. They have a number of nafkaminas like this. First is one we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, which was whether women can be chayiv in the mitzvah asay of Shemitah. Okay, seemingly the mitzvah asay should be mitzvah asay shazman grama. Women should be partnered from the mitzvah asay of Shemitah. And one of the answers we had mentioned at the time was that it could be that it's not a mitzvah on the person, it's a mitzvah on the land, and whoever is the owner of the land is responsible, and therefore the lady gets responsible, if her land has to do this, and as the owner, she has to take care of it. That was one possible answer to that. Okay, more, a case that many people talk about is the isser of Amir La'akam on Shemitah, is that part of the Issur D'oraisa? If the mitzvah is my land has to rest, then it doesn't make a difference whether I actually, plant something in the ground, or I tell the guy to plant something in the ground. It's all the same. But if you say, no, it's just a mitzvah on me, well, a mitzvah on me means there's no mitzvah on the guy, so it's just an Issur D'rabbanan of Amir Lakum. Okay, what happens if you live in a building, and some of the people in the building are not Shomer Shabbos, and they hire a gardener to take care of the building. So the building has a gardener taking care of the garden in front of the building on Shemitah. Okay, so my land, I'm part owner of that land that surrounds the building. My land is not resting. My land is being planted and taken care of on Shemitah. My mechuyev to some go as far as say that I should be mafkir my rights to the land around the building because my land is working on Shemitah. So, and I have a responsibility to not have my land. I can't physically stop them. I only get one vote in the Vada Bias. You know what I mean? I only get one vote, but I can mostly just, recuse myself, just step back and say, I don't own that land anymore, and my land's not doing any more. Okay. What about if a person wants to put onto his field?
You can just say I'm not.
That's a shayla. It's a shayla whether it's even effective. Let's say you should do it, because it doesn't mean anything. You just walk away from the land.
Let's say you should do it. How do you do it?
That's a secondary question. Is it physically possible? Could you halachically just step away from it and say, I don't want to own part of the land? That's a second answer to the same question. Okay. Can I put down before Shemitah? It's a few weeks before Shemitah now. Can I go down and put a slow-release fertilizer onto my field that'll keep on fertilizing for the whole Shemitah, or for, a couple of months? Or what happens if I set my watering system? I said that every Monday morning, from 8 to 11, the sprinklers go on. So, I'm not going to do any malacha on Shemitah, but obviously my land is not resting. I'm doing something to make it that the land doesn't rest on Shemitah, but I'm not doing any malacha, I'm sleeping, and the grass is being watered. So, these are all things that connect to this shaila. And one shaila, which is pretty popular, the shaila actually came to our office a week or two ago, is there any restriction on planting things before Shemitah that will take root on Shemitah? Okay, now, if you remember, way back at the beginning, we spoke about that there's a specific iser to plant fruit-bearing trees for 44 days before Shemitah. There's a special iser for that. We're not talking about that. Well, I want to just plant some other flowers. I want to plant the tree. I want to plant a tomato bush right before Shemitah. So if the concern is that my grain has to rest, what I did today, Erev Shemitah is causing me to take root on Shemitah, that might be an Isser, as opposed to if the Isser is on me, the Isser is on me during Shemitah. Okay, so just for that, Shiloh, just you should know about that. There are those who are Machmir, they say you shouldn't plant for a certain amount of days before him. Shlom Zalman says it's very not clear that you have to be Machmir, and he says all you should be Machmir on is, it's been based on a lot of Sfeikas, is for the last day of El is the 29th day of El. So he says on the 29th and on the 28th you shouldn't plant, And on the 27th, for the last few minutes before Shkia, we'll say Mitzvah Kekula. And if you don't play for those 3 days, we'll say that anything played there before or a little before Shkia on the 27th of El is Mutter. So this year, the 29th is on Wednesday, and the 28th is on Tuesday. So on Monday, from Monday afternoon right before Shkia, you can't play it right before Shemitah, because you should have a little bit of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we'll say anything played before then, and then we'll assume took root before Shemitah, and you won't have a problem. Okay. And the Chazanish says completely, I didn't tell you what the names here, but the Chazanish says there's completely no issue on a person, no issue on the land, it's completely a person-related issue. If the person not being aware of any issue, you can do whatever you want, you can plant 5 minutes before you go to shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Some of the riots to this Shaila, okay, are like this. The Torah, it says, when the Torah describes the mitzvah of Shemitah, it says, Vishal Saharet. Okay, the Torah describes it as the land resting, implying that it has to do with the land. Obviously, we're the guardians of the land, but the land is the one that has to do the resting. And the Gemara, the Gemara says pretty straightforward. The Gemara says, Adam Mitzvah Ashvisis Sadehu Peshvias. Okay, a person's mitzvah, that his land should rest during Shemitah. Sure sounds like, the way the Pasuk says, that the land is what is responsible, and I'm the one who takes care of that mitzvah. Okay, when the Rambam, before every one of the Svarim in the Rambam, he has a listing of the mitzvahs that are going to be in that Sefer, just a brief listing, you know, this Sefer has 4 mitzvahs I say and 3 mitzvahs less I say. So before Hilchos Shemitah V'Yevil, he says the mitzvah is, when he describes this mitzvah, he says the mitzvah is Shetishpois Haaretz, okay, sounding like the pasuk. In Sefer Mitzvahs, he doesn't say it. In Sefer Mitzvahs, he says, Shetzivanu Lishpois on this year. Okay, he's talking person related. Okay, so these are diukim this way and that way. The Chazanish says, he says, I don't understand it. He says, how could it be that the mitzvah is not on the person? He says, let's say this something starts growing in my backyard on Shemitah. Okay, so it just grows by itself. So it just starts growing. He says, is there a mitzvah to rip it out of the ground? If I have a mitzvah to make sure that my land, nothing grows, why don't I have to go and rip the stuff out of the ground? Now, midrabanan, there may be such mitzvahs, but midrabanan, there's no such thing. If something starts growing in my backyard, I don't have to pull it out of the ground. Why not? If you're supposed to be watching the ground that the gnome walker gets done, why don't you rip it out? He said even further, if you remember, the issur to water your plants is only issur drabanan. Okay, on Shemitah, watering your plants is only, almost everything is drabanan, but watering is the example he uses. Watering your plants is a drabanan. He says, that means midrabanan, I'm allowed to sit and water my plants. He says, aren't I making them grow? If you're not supposed to have things grow in Shemitah, that's what I'm doing. I'm making things grow. I'm in the rice. I'm allowed to sit there and water my lawn. What are you doing watering your grass? What you're doing is making things grow in Shemitah. So if you think there's an issur on the ground, I have to make sure the ground doesn't do anything. Maybe you won't believe that I have to rip things out. But I'm allowed to mount water it to make them grow. He says, I can't believe that. So that's one of the Chazanish's diukim, the thing that I do. Okay. So related to this whole thing, this is even marginally related to that. Ruchai Kineski has the following shot. The Yerushalmi says, if you have a field and the stuff is not doing well, so Yerushalmi says like this: the guy wants to do is he wants to hang up a sign out by his field that people should daven that his field should do well. Okay, he's not a demlocha. He wants to hang up a sign, please daven lefuah shleim and tell you chaya ben basia. You want to say is no, I want you to daven for this field. So Yerushalmi talks about it. Yerushalmi says like this: if you're davening that the field should for Ukmi Ilana, if you daven that the field should not get damaged, if that's what the people are going to daven that the field should not ruin its payers, that's okay. If you daven for Avri Ilana, if you daven that the field should do better, should grow better, that you're not allowed to put up a sign like that. Okay, which is consistent with what the rules we learned. But for Isurin Darabanan, anything other than the few rules, Machas Mit Deraisa, you're only allowed to do things to keep the field from getting damaged. You're not allowed to do things to help it become do a better job. So Yerushalmi says you can hang up a sign, please daven for my field that shouldn't be ruined, but you're not allowed to daven for the field, please daven that I should have more Paris on my field. He says, so what do you see from there? He says, what do you see from this Yerushalmi? That the Malachas on Shabbos are even, Malachas on Shvius, he says, are even what he calls Inyanim Segulium. Okay, not only am I not allowed to take a shovel and start digging in my backyard, but I'm not even allowed to hang up a sign that people should daven for it. That's not malacha in the traditional sense. I'm not watering or digging or raking. I'm just having people daven. He says, see that the malachas even go for Inyan Segulim. He asks that in Hilchos Shabbos, that's not the din. In Hilchos Shabbos, it says, you're allowed to say a lachash, an incantation. You're allowed to just say words to trap an animal. Okay, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Even though usually on Shabbos you would think that on Shabbos it depends on Lechus Mashabbos. If you're successful in getting a goal, and you are, you get the animal trapped, that's not also on Shabbos. Because you're not doing any physical malacha, But you're on, but you see on Shemitah, you're not allowed to do that. You can't hang up the sign that people should daven that your field should do better. So, he says, maybe, it depends on the Shiloh that we've been talking about. Maybe on Shemitah I have a mitzvah that the land should rest. The mitzvah is b'shav sa'aret. If people by davening is going to make the land not rest, the land didn't rest. But for traditional malacha, like on Shabbos, you have to actually do an action. But for resting on Shemitah, it depends if the land rests and the land didn't rest. He's not convinced that it depends on that. Came along, he brings it. His son asked him a question like this. A Gemara, this is a Bavli, says, if there's a drought on Shemitah, if you have a drought on Shemitah, you could daven that it should rain even if Ruhi Lana. So he says, so what's going on over here? I just told you that you can only hang up the sign. You can only hang up the sign to keep the field from getting ruined, but it's okay for me to hang up, for me to daven that it should rain when Ruhi Lana. So he wants to say that the nafkamina is that when the person hangs up the sign, he's doing an action. Because you have to bang the sign onto the tree, or you have to hang it off the thing. You're doing unaction. So there can't be an isser unless there's unaction happening. Just davening is okay. But the isser is because I asked you to daven. Because I hung up a sign to ask you to daven. I don't exactly get it. I don't see what's an afkamina. If I ask you, if davening is okay, so why should hang up a sign to daven be not okay? Sure, I did an action. I did hang up a sign. But that didn't really do much different than if davening is not there, so what's wrong with...
Maybe you can only hang the sign on the karka. You just tell people that's okay.
So it's malacha the karka, hanging sign, that's a malacha to hang the sign. It's hard to hear. I would have more easily understood that taka maflik is here, the bavin Yerushalmi. I mean, it's almost exactly the same case. The Yerushalmi is concerned about what he calls inyanim segulim, and doing just having the land rest. That's out of the shaila. And the Bavli, by saying that you're allowed to daven, is telling us that you don't have to have the land rest. It only depends if you do the malacha. You have to do the malacha, you're just davening. So to me, I'm saying just, me looking at it, sure looks like that the Bavli and Yerushalmi are arguing on this point. Is there an isser for the land to do malacha? Do I have to make sure the land does the malacha, or do I have to not do malacha myself? To us, that's what it seems like.
When you say land rest, okay, we define land rest as land is doing nothing. Even a land that's doing nothing is doing something.
Okay.
There's life that's going on underneath. The plants that have been there from beforehand are growing. That's continuing to happen. If the water's coming from Shemayim, it's still growing.
Right.
The land is never going to rest in the sense that you're talking about. On the other hand, anything that's being done that changes the matzah from where it was when it walked into Shemitah, that changes the matzah and says, okay, now here's a new entity.
Okay.
I'm trying to say the answer isn't on the dirt, it's on the produce, it's on the items that are in there.
The new plants.
That haven't been there from the moment, and Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So anything that isn't there from Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year, that's the definition of work, of lack of rest. But anything that's ongoing is resting.
Okay.
When the person's asking to pray for rain, okay, he's praying to rain for something that's going to happen from Shemayim, which is Mavela, going to happen, so that this field is going to continue to go. Stuff that was already in there, so that's not rest. That's not a problem of resting.
So you're saying the reason is because rain is not an issue. So,
right.
So let's
say you can pray for rain.
So let's say if I ask a guy to do it from Lachem to water my field, is that okay? I'm not talking about the is that the rights of my land not resting if I ask a guy to do malacha?
The rights, it's okay for you to water your grass.
No, I'm talking about, from the conceptual perspective. Can I ask the guy, is that just a amir la'akim, or is that really doing the isser of watering your field?
Well, that's doing an action. I would do that as an extension of action, because you're asking someone
to... So what seems like I ask Hashem to do it, or I ask the guy to do it? What's the difference? Are you saying, field growing further, that's not an issue. What's it about ask Hashem, or ask the guy? I got someone to water it. So if because I have to make sure the field doesn't get watered, then I shouldn't ask Hashem. I can't stop him, but I don't ask Hashem. I shouldn't ask the guy. If it's just what I can't do, so I'm not doing it. Hashem is doing it to the guy. Those are okay. And there's another thing also that you only talked about two of the malachas, But there's a malacha of pruning trees also. A pruning grape trees is a malacha deraisa. There's a malacha of kaitzer as an owner. Those are malachas that have to do with the ground.
Those are actions that don't even have to do with the ground.
No, I'm saying, those, that says to me that it's not only that the land shouldn't produce new things. There are malachas that
new things should be, reverse it. It's not that the land shouldn't produce new things, it's that new things shouldn't be produced.
Okay.
On that land. New things shouldn't be produced on that land. Land that's not near Yisrael, new things can be produced there. Land that doesn't belong, okay. But if it belongs to a Jew, new things shouldn't be produced on that land. That's the issue. So like you're cutting, you're pruning, you're doing all that, that's new things being produced. You're watering, that's new things being produced.
If I water a tree to grow new apples and I prune a grape tree, I mean...
That's an action that you
okay. Okay, it was an interesting question. I'm not sure if we know the real answer, but as I mentioned, I didn't tell you all the names. There's a whole pile of Achronim. It starts really from Michas Chinuch, who talked about the Shaila, whether the issue is for me or for the land. Okay, move to another thing which is connected. And that is, we're talking... Sorry, no slides.
No. I'm concentrating. I need something to look at. You got slides, got wonderful PowerPoints and slides, all kinds of cute pictures.
I told him I didn't think that it was respectful to finish my slides in the middle of the meeting. So I wasn't finished before this morning, so that's why we don't have slides. Okay. We talked about the Isurim to do Malacha on Shvias. Okay, there's an Isur to do Malacha. There's another mitzvah I'm gonna talk about it just for a minute, another mitzvah that there is that marginally relates, that's connected to that, which is, there's a mitzvah, we've mentioned it, there's a mitzvah to be mafkir your fields, to let everything be open and people should come and take what they want to. It's one that I see, one halacha in the Rambam, that you have to be mafkir your fields. And I'm going to briefly mention a few of the issues that there are about being mafkir your stuff. Okay, the first is, also a shayla nachrayim, very seemingly very interrelated to what we just talked about, which is, does the hefker that the Torah says the stock, the produce is hefker, is that automatic? Or is that a mitzvah that I should be mafkir my produce and allow people to take from it? In other words, does it happen automatically? Hashem says, the produce of the seventh year is hefker, and anyone can take it. I mean, if I lock up my door, I locked up my door, but actually it's hefker. Or is it a mitzvah that I have to go and be mafkir my field? A mafkir mean it? That's a shiloh, which what the Gemara means. And if the mafkir mean is, I'll tell you, the mafkir mean is, why don't you say chesher of cotton? Okay, a cotton owns a field, and he doesn't have a mitzvah to be mafkir it. He doesn't have to do it. But if the person said all the produce of the seventh year is hefker it is. Okay, it's all hefker automatically. It's not because I chose to make it hefker, it's automatically hefker. Or, what about if it belongs to a guy? Now, I'm not talking about whether the guy will listen to our directive that he should be mafkir his field. But if the produce of a guy's field is be'etzim hefker, then it's part of Trumas HaMaisus. Then there's no Trumas HaMaisus on it because produce of hefker is not chayim in Trumas HaMaisus. If we say it's not hefker, the Torah says you should make it hefker, well, the guy's not making it hefker, he doesn't care about the din, so he's not making it hefker, so then, at the time when the Gemara Malach had him, what?
Take it. If he's not looking, you take it.
No, no, but if
it's bad to
me. No, but right, if it's bad to me, then if the term is hefker, it is, but if the mitzvah is just on people, since he doesn't have to do the mitzvah, by the time the Gemara Malach had one became chayim in Trumas HaMaisus, it belonged to a person, it's chayim in Trumas HaMaisus.
Okay. You're assuming that
I'm not talking about it. That question, which we're going to talk about in a future time, is interrelated to the question we're talking about right now. Is the hefker automatic, or is the hefker, are the mitzvahs automatic, or the mitzvahs because the people have to do them? That shaila and whether yesh kinyan are interrelated. Right. Anyhow, so this question now is connected to the shaila we talked about beforehand. In the shaila we talked about beforehand, is the mitzvah on the land, the mitzvah on the person, is very similar to this question. Is the hefker mitzvah a mitzvah automatic, because it's a mitzvah on the land? The land has these rules, no one owns it for this year, or is it a mitzvah on the person? Okay, another thing. When the mitzvah is that you should make your things hefker, you only need to make it hefker for yidden to come in and eat the produce. If a guy wants to come in, or an animal wants to come in, you don't have to let them in. A person wants to come in and damage your trees or damage your field, you don't have to let them in. Because the produce is hefker, not the tree. So if a guy's going to come in and break a branch off your tree, you don't have to let him in. If a person's going to come in and take the produce and not eat it with Kedusha Shvias, he's not going to eat it the way he's supposed to. You're not going to let him in. Well, a person wants to walk in Stam, he wants to take pictures of your scenery around your house, you don't have to let him in. The only right that the person has is to come in and eat the produce, the Kedusha Shvias. If he wants to come in for other purposes, you don't have to do it. And related to that is, there's a shaila, whether you're mechuyav to leave your fields open 24-7. Do you have to open the doors and leave it open all the time? Or could you make hours? You know, I guess you can't make from 2 to 3 a.m., but could you just set it in hours? The field is open from 1 to 5 in the afternoon, and come then. Otherwise, I don't need people trampling through my field. Okay, that's a shot of
the... So you're not going to knock at the field, you're not going to get the produce?
Yes, only the produce.
You have to give them...
Get access. They have to have the way to get out. I mean, how am I going to get my orange if you don't let me in? So, yeah, but you might, I might be able to restrict when you come in, because the X in the field is mine.
Right.
The field and the tree is mine. You can have the oranges. So I might say, okay, listen, it's in the afternoon, so you can come in. There's a shiloh that the person, if and how much a person is allowed to compensate the original owner for taking his produce. And last is, the produce is hefka for everybody. We pass them the produce is hefka even for Ashir, not just for anyone, it's hefka for everybody. But there are shiloh about how much a person is allowed to take. Okay, so we ran through there pretty quickly. But I just could not say that there's a mitzvah hefka. Okay. So we've been talking about, our last topic for today is like this. We talked about that there's a mitzvah to not do avodah zarah, and there's a mitzvah to be mafkir your fields. To be mafkir the produce of your fields. What happens if a person did not follow the din? And the person either was not mafkir his fields, or the person worked his field like regularly, he did malachas like he wasn't supposed to. Okay, does that have any effect on the produce of that field? Okay, those things are cool. Mishumer v'nevad. Mishumer means it was guarded, it was watched. The person was not mafkir. And nevad means that he worked the field. He did the melachos, he wasn't supposed to. He planted something in his produce. He pruned his grape trees, and he do those grapes become usher? Okay, so that question is the machlekes rishayim. The machmir on those two shaylas, they're not exactly the same, but the machmir on those two shaylas, the Rebbeinu Tam and the Ravid, are machmir on those two shaylas. They say mishumer v'nevad become the produce itself becomes usher. And many, many Rishonim disagree and say that it's not true. The person did the wrong thing. He worked his field or he guarded his produce. The produce itself does not inherently become mutter. And doesn't become usher. And the produce is usher. He did the wrong thing, but it doesn't affect the status of the produce. And the contemporary poskim, the Chazanish, Moshe, Rishon Zalman, all say that we pass him like the Mikilim on these shiles. Okay, the Meshumah B'Nevin is mutter. Now, so the before I continue, I just want to, there's a footnote to this is, that if you look in the Sram of the Chazanish, you'll see that sometimes he says to be Machmer, and sometimes he says to be Mekel. Okay? But it's accepted that Chazanish says to be Mekel. So, Chaim Kineski says that they yes, the Chazanish, how come you said sometimes to be Machmer, and sometimes he said to be Mekel? Like, what's going on over here? You know, you're not being consistent. And he said to them, the reason why he did that is because he wanted people to realize that this is a Machlekes Rishonim. And the din, the ikar din is that you could be Mekel, but they should realize that this is a tzad to be Machmer. So I sometimes wrote Mutter, wrote also, to leave it a little ambiguous, people realize the Ruti Machmer, and supposedly, according to this version, the Chazanish personally was Machmer on that child. Okay? According to this version. In Tzitzel Yezer, he says, he heard from other Talmidim, that the Chazanish really originally was Machmer. Earlier in his life he was Machmer, later in his life he was completely Mekel, and that you could completely be Mekel. Okay, so different versions of what Chazanish said.
So he finds himself in a position where he's eating fruit that he may have been working on it. So there's a tzad to be Mekel on the fruit.
That the fruit is mut, right. The fruit did not get... No, it's very accepted. Rav Moshe says it sometimes. It's very accepted that Meshumer v'Nevad is mutter. Okay? Now, so that sounds like a great cool, like you're saying. Whoa, I just found that's some really good news. Meshumer v'Nevad is mutter. Now, we will find that in the next two times that we speak, that there's another issue called Svichen, okay? We're not talking about that now. That's another issue that's, in this context, much more serious, okay? That potentially makes it that I can't just eat what I want to. But for today, we're talking about Meshumah V'Nevet, and we just found out, this big kula, that it's pretty accepted nowadays that Meshumah V'Nevet, the food does not become usher. He did the wrong thing, but it's not usher. The problem is, the question, the more obvious question is like this. You know, this shita of, we'll deal with the Meshumah, of Rabbeinu Tam, was not said in a vacuum. Rabbeinu Tam didn't just wake up one day and say, I think the Meshumah is usher. Where did it come from? Okay, so it comes from a Mishnah and a Gemara, not in the same exact way. A Mishnah and a Gemara that say, basically, that someone watches his produce, he can't buy the produce from him. So Rabbeinu Tam says the reason why you can't buy from him is because it's usher. The produce is usher. So wait, you can't buy from the guy because the produce is usher. That's how Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara. And the other Rishonim were arguing, saying, no, that's not what the Mishnah, that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara meant was, there's an Isser to purchase it. The produce is not awesome, but there's an issue to purchase it. Why? The Gemara almost says this out straight out. The reason is because there's an issue called Moisir Demei Shvi Islam Aretz, which is when you buy something during Shemitah, we'll find this about this in the future, when you buy something during Shemitah, if this drink had Kedusha Shvias, and I buy it, then the money that I spent on it now also has Kedusha Shvias. So both of them have it, the produce itself, and the money that I bought it with have Kedusha Shvias. So if I go to you, who were Shimer, this Paris, you watched these, you guarded this produce, you didn't let anybody take it. So if I give you the money, obviously you don't care about the mitzvah of Shemitah. So when I give you a dollar for your orange, you're going to take that dollar and you're going to go buy a pair of shoes with it. You're not going to buy shoes with money with Kedusha Shvias. You're going to go put the money to the bank and use it for something else. You're going to use it improperly. So there's an issur to give money of that Kedusha Shvias to someone who won't treat it properly. So the reason why the Mishnah and the Gemara said you're not allowed to buy the produce from this person is not because the produce is usher. It's because when you buy it, he's obviously a person who doesn't care about these dinim. When you give him the money, you're being moistened to make shvias lamar. You're giving the money of shvias to somebody who's not going to treat it appropriately, and therefore, you're not allowed to do that. So the Rishonim argue on Rabbeinu Tam, it's true that they hold that Meshumer is mutter, but then they hold, you can't buy it. So how meaningful is it going to be that to know that Meshumer...
From a chaver you could buy it.
You could buy it. How did he get it?
Oh, you could eat it.
So if the only autonomy is going to be, so, well, at this point,
you
had it in the
you went to the field and picked it up.
You went, you mean you took it out of the guy's field?
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. It could happen like that. Okay, but for me and you, I mean, me and you are not likely to walk into the guy's field and pick up an orange. So it could come up, if it, like what you were intimating, which I'm in someone's house. Okay, I sit down to eat at someone's house. He's not mocked, but and he serves me, he cuts up an orange for me, and he says, here, have a piece of orange. I know it's Meshumer Benever. So I'm saying, listen, how he got it, that's not my problem. I mean, he did the wrong thing, that's his issue. But for me, the orange is not us. Okay, so that's true. So I was saved a certain amount, but it didn't. It's not as grand as you might have thought it would be.
According to what they say, that's usher. Many times it's usher. So the chayr loses his kedusha shvias.
Why does it lose kedusha shvias?
Well, because otherwise they have no right. Of course they're right. Of course they're right. That you can't give it to them, you can't buy it because it has kedusha shvias and the guy's not going to take care of it. Why would Rabbeinu Tam think there's a right from there? Rabbeinu Tam says you can't buy it because it's usher. It's not right. It's partial because it has kedusha shvias. The guy's not going to keep it. And, but if it's, and anyway, if it's usher, you got to destroy it. What do you do with it? How can it have kedusha shvias and eat it? You got to. What do you do with it?
I have to think back. I don't remember the answer to the question.
I have to just read, but you have no choice. You can't.
I don't remember. It comes from a Taurus cranium. I don't remember.
So I don't have to worry if I go to somebody's house about what they're doing with Shvias?
Well, this part of it, the Meshumer Benever, the Shvias part is a much, it ends up being a much more serious concern, but we're talking about now with the orange, which it doesn't have the Shvias issue, so I just have Kedusha Shvias, so I say, is it also because it's Meshumer? I say, I don't have to worry about that.
But it has Kedusha
Shvias. It might have Kedusha Shvias.
You'll have to eat the orange and be careful about the...
I understand, but I don't have to reject the food. I don't have to say the food is straight. If you were serving me something, right. If you would have served me tomato, I wouldn't be able to eat it.
But it's not Florida orange. Okay. You can't treat it like a kind of
no, okay, but
it's got to be shit.
But I'm within range that I can eat. I what I'll do with it, I'll treat it properly, but I'll be allowed to eat it. According to Rabbi Tam, I can't eat it. It's usher. Okay, so it could be that the only heter, you could be happily walk away and say, okay, the only heter was that if someone feeds you the food, you're allowed to eat it. Okay, but I'm going to tell you three other ways that we can use this heter, okay, that are grander than just that simple approach, even according to other Rishonim. The first is like this. The Gemara, I told you it's a Mishnah in the Gemara. The Gemara that talks about doing this thing, it's Gemara in Sukkot. Gemara in Sukkot. Towards the end of Sukkot. The Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't say it's usher. Well, the Gemara says is, you have to buy it b'havlah. That is to say, you have to buy it from this person in a way that there won't be kedusha shvias on the money. B'havlah means you buy it together with many other things. I give him $10 for this whole basket of items. One of them is the one with kedusha shvias. There's no kedusha shvias on the money then. So the Gemara says you buy it b'havlah. The more modern version of that, instead of buying it b'havlah, is we buy it b'hakafa, you buy it on credit. Okay? Buying on credit might be as easy, we'll talk about this when we get to kedusha shvias, might be as easy as paying with a credit card or a check. Okay? There are many hold like that, that'll be good enough. So in other words, the cooler will be, that even if the fruit is also, I can't buy it no matter what. But if the food is mutter, the problem is just giving him money with kedusha shvias. Well, there are ways to avoid getting kedusha shvias onto the money. I can buy it in a way that doesn't put kedusha shvias onto the money. So the cool means is I might even be able to buy the orange, as long as I manage to not give him money for it. I have to find a different way to do it. B'avlah, b'hakafah, there are ways that we get around, so to speak, get around getting kedusha shvias. The money has no kedusha shvias. I get the orange, he has money that's clean, and we're okay, and I'm allowed to do it. So that's one, so to speak, way that we could use this cool, more than just if someone's serving the orange. Second is, Second, another nafkamina, this is a different kind of a nafkamina, which is, this is the case that Ramesh is talking about. Ramesh is talking about using an esri that has kedusha shviyas. That'll be a way later topic. An esri that has kedusha shviyas, that'll be for a year from now. So Ramesh says is, if the din would be like a benatam, that the esri is usher to eat, then it would be possible for the mitzvah also. I wouldn't be allowed to use it for the mitzvah because it's something, so to speak, tricked. Not everybody agrees that that last step that I just said is correct, but Ramesh says, if the esri would be usher to eat, then it would be usher to use it as an esrog also, but since we don't pass like that, we pass in like that the mishumer is mutter, the esrog is mutter to eat, and since it's mutter to eat, I'm allowed to use it for the mitzvah. So that means it's similar to what the guy served me, but if there's a person in shul that has an esrog, or I got the esrog improperly, I got it incorrectly, and I have the esrog in my hand that was mishumer, I'm allowed to use that for the mitzvah, and I don't have to worry that it's an esrog that's possible for the mitzvah. I'm allowed to use it. Okay. Now, the last is, Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, this is controversial, and he says like this. He says, the Isser, to be Moshit Dimei Shviyas La'amaretz, assumes that the person is Taka, like the case in the Mishnah, he's a person who was Shomer his Peri Shviyas, he doesn't care about the Din. If the person who I'm getting it from did it based because he thinks it's the correct thing to do, he did it because, in his words, a Rav Mumcha told him that he's allowed to do that, I don't have any problem giving him Dimei Shviyas. So that means this, if the person who did it was Sanuch on the Het Mechira, I don't hold to the Het Mechira, but there are definitely respectable Rabbanim who told him that he could rely on the Het Mechira. So Rabbi Zalman says, so that person, I'm not considered giving Dimei Shviyas La'amaretz, I'm giving it to a person who to him has no Kedusha Shviyas. And from his perspective, the money I'm giving has no Kedusha Shviyas, and he'll do nothing wrong by buying shoes with it afterwards. So even though I personally don't hold of it, I can give him the money and say to him, go ahead, I want to buy an orange from you. I can buy it straight out. Here's the dollar. I want your orange. To me, I'm giving money to an Amaretz. It's not true. Because he's, so to speak, not an Amaretz. He's being served on an acceptable opinion. He has a reasonable opinion. Now, I don't agree with that. My Rav told me not to do that. But he has an opinion that says that it's mutter. There's no issue to give money to that. You could even buy straight from the guy. Now, the Gemara was talking about...
No,
that's
not even.
He talks about, it relates to Lifnei Iver. It's a little worse than Lifnei Iver, because I'm actually giving money with Kedusha Shviyas. It's a little different, but it's related to that. Rav Zalman talks about Lifnei Iver and the Jew also. He says, the issue would only be, in the Gemara's case, is I bought it from a guy who doesn't care. He was not sure he doesn't care. In this case, I'm not doing that.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, similar to that, but that's a little simpler. Over here, I in Din don't hold this as much. Over there, okay, I'm not sure it's okay, but now, that Kula, which is a little controversial, that Kula, no, that's saying, you realize what's coming here, you know, between the lines, which is that I don't hold the Het Mechira, but I at least hold that as a legitimate opinion. Okay, that's coming through in the translation of it. I hold it as a legitimate opinion, even if I don't agree with it. Okay. But what happens is, this Kula, Rav Zalman is saying, is only going to work if I know that the person who has the produce was Sanuch on the Het Mechira. What happens if I have a person who was not Sanuch on the Het Mechira? He just took care of his field, just stopped. Okay. In other words, we're going to find out when we get to the Mechira, not everybody has a Mechira done on their land. There are lots of people in Eretz Yisrael who plow the land and plant and do everything, and they don't have any Het Mechira. They don't care anything. Just like they drive on Shabbos, they plant their field in Shemitah. They don't care about Het Mechira at all. So, not just because the person might be Sanuch on the Het Mechira, that doesn't mean he did. I have to know that he did. I mean, if I walk into a store that says, sorry, hang up, we're under the hafkach of this person because we follow the Hetzim Mechira, that's what Shem Zalman was talking about. But if I just walk over to a guy in the street, or I just go over to a fruit stand in the Ben Yehuda Shuk and I say, here's a dollar for your orange, I don't know if that guy did the Hetzim Mechira. Maybe he did nothing. He may not be Shem Zalman anything. Now, so that, I think, is correct. What happens now, but in a different case? What happens if I come to Ted's, the supermarket, this food store here, and they have persimmons for Eretz Yisrael, and it says the name of the place that they get it from, and I know that those people follow the Het Mechira. I know the people with the brand, the farm they get it is Het Mechira. Am I allowed to give the money to Ted? I don't know if that's the guy's name. To the guy who runs Ted? Am I allowed to give it to him? I'm giving money to somebody who is Samach on the Het Mechira? No. The guy who runs Ted, he doesn't know from Het Mechira nothing. He's not Samach on a Rav Mumcha. He doesn't know anything. He bought a box of persimmons. He doesn't know anything from Het Mechira. So, yeah, Moshe Demei Shviyas, he's not going to treat it with Kedusha Shviyas. If I had, I'm making this money to Kedusha Shviyas, and I'm basically throwing the money out to anybody to waste it. So the question is, am I giving to this guy? He wasn't Sanuch HaHet Mechira. Well, he really was. I mean, he doesn't know that, but he was Sanuch HaHet Mechira. But really, is it mutter because that person has someone to rely on? Therefore, I say, if it's on your shoulders, I'm giving you the money because you're responsible. Or is it because there is a sheet out there, and then there's a reasonable sheet out there that's good enough? It may depend. This shaila may depend on, so Rosham Zalman says, Rosham Zalman says, really? You thought the first part he said was in awe. He says, what would happen if the Rav who thinks you should be machmir about Hetta Mechira, okay, here's the Rav, okay, Rabbi A, he thinks you should be machmir Hetta Mechira, should not be some about Hetta Mechira. Someone comes over to him and says to him, I'm not sure what I should do. Should I use the Hetta Mechira or should I not? What do you think the din is? Should I use it or not? Now, I'm not exactly sure what exactly the case was. He says that that Rav should say, you're allowed to be mako by drabonon. You follow the mako. Halachic divya mako by drabonon. And therefore, you should follow the megillah. I personally think you should be machmir. But the din is, when there's a machlokes about an issur drabonon, you follow the megillah. So Rosh Hashanah says, the rabbi himself would sort of have to tell you, you should follow the megillah. There's also a sort of like the din is that it's mutter. It's not that you followed him that it's mutter. The din really is that it's mutter because it's a issur drabonon, as we've heard. Issur mashmita nowadays is a drabonon. Issur drabonon. And issur drabonon, the din is you follow the mako. So even the machmir would have to tell you to follow the mako, which is I so to speak, have to tell you to follow him, in which case, Ted's is not because he's some kind of rug, because that's, so to speak, the din. So to speak, that's the din, that those persimmons are mutter. So it's not because he was some kind of rug. So this part is even, it's in a footnote. That part is even more controversial than the first part. It's not even saying that it's a legitimate opinion. He's saying is, well, once it's a legitimate opinion, everyone took him to the rabbanon. So we're stuck. Even if we think it's usher, we have to be mingled.
This isn't halacha l'maaseh because it's sweeping, right?
We're talking about things that are only involved with the Isra and Meshumah Ben Amad. We're not talking about the things that have to do with Svikin, where everyone will be to. That's the next 2 times you mentioned.
The Mechira itself could be the Isra. If you also have Zechonim,
there's
an Isra the Isra.
No. My persimmon that I'm holding, the Shaila on this persimmon is only a Shaila of a Drabonon. So could I be Samach on the Mechilim?
It's not going to be Samach.
No, I'm not talking about whether you should make the Mechilim. I'm talking about I have a persimmon in my hand. Should I say this is Mutter Rasser? Well, that's a Shaila of a Drabonon. So there's a Shaila in these Paiskim. These people say yes, these people say not. So the Rav with Mach would have to tell you to follow the Mechilim, and the persimmon will be Mutter. Go figure.
Yeah, but the consumer, even the Rav would say it's Mutter because
No, can I? Mr. Ted's. I mean, what's the difference if the rub is the? If I went to the rub and said, should I follow that cheater or that cheater?
In terms of what, buying the persimmon or selling? No. Or
using it? Well, if you say, should I do the mechira, run into his problem. Right. I've never missed twice. But sort of in the theory of it.
If he needs the persimmon, then because he has rub won't put a beat, even the rub himself would be somehow.
But no, I mean to buy, but can I eat? No, can I? Okay, you're right. I'm not going to end up in that issue. But in the theoretical shaila, should I be samach on the Hetta Mechira? Should I not be samach on it? If I don't have Yisroel D'Raisa, I should be samach on the Mechilim. He's going to have to tell me to be samach on the Mechilim because it's a shaila of the Rabbanan. It's a shaila of the Rabbanan. You have to follow the Mechilim. Even though I hold it, it's Osir. We have a funny situation. Yes, sir.